This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning. I am Coach Jen in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 29th, episode 1664, brought to you today by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Wednesday.
Hit it! That's right, it's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy. Wednesday, I can't
sleep. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Yes, Jen is here today because poor widow Gwen got a widow cold at the widow horse show and he's a widow sick. As much crap as women go through, a dude gets a cold and like they're dying.
Yes.
I don't know how to explain it, but being a female and a horse person makes us like quadruply tough or something, Jennifer, because is he just being a widow baby?
Well, yeah, he is sick, but guys have this thing that genetically they need to be pampered and cared for when they're sick.
It's amazing.
Yes. And maybe it's just more pronounced because I think especially horse gals tend to be just leave me the H alone. I'll get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I know, Glenn, I know you're listening and I know you're sick and I'm really sorry. And this happened last year after Road to the Horse and I'm really sorry. But yes, men in general, it's like I have a cold. I'm dying. I need some water. Give me some ID. I don't, whatever they want. Yeah. They have to be weighted on hand and foot. Like, I don't know. Like I said, the addition of female plus horse chick makes you just a little bit tougher, I guess.
Yes. So if we were to relate this to the animal world, women are like cats. When they don't feel well, they just go hide in a corner and leave me alone.
Yeah.
Whereas fellas are like dogs. They want to sit on your lap and curl up and lick you in the face and get their belly rubbed. Yeah.
I got a vision of Glenn licking you in the face.
Getting his belly rubbed. That's funny.
Gross. Okay. Well, I want to just as an aside, Joseph Berto, I have not forgotten about you. I'm just waiting to talk about what you did to my... when Glenn's here. So just that's all I'm gonna say about that. We'll talk about it on Friday. Anyway, that was so funny. I would like to let's find out what's going on today's show, Jennifer. I guess we'll go straight to you.
Coming on today's show, we're gonna chat with the executive director of the Equestrian Aid Foundation, and she's going to tell us about what they do and how they do it. I've never heard of the Equestrian Aid Foundation, so I'm very curious. Dr. Cubitt stops by for the ND Flax Horse Health Report, and she's going to explain the difference between forage and fiber. Yes, there is a difference. And then rounding things out, Ashley Godwin. Her name might sound familiar to a lot of folks. She's the Glamoraws gal, and she's up to something a little bit different. She's working with off-the-track thoroughbreds, finding them new homes and new careers. And she kind of had a big win over the weekend with one of her OTTBs. So she's going to stop by and chat about that. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
All right. Daily winning time.
That's yours.
Oh, that's mine. I'm first today. My daily winning goes out to one of our friends of the show. Her name is Lainey Ashker. You know, Lainey.
Yeah, Lainey Ashker.
Isn't she the one that made her face in toast? Yeah. They were, instead of signing just normal autographs at Rolex, they had a toaster with Lainey's face. Like if you put the bread in and you take it out, it was her face that they had toasted onto the toast. I don't know why. It was just funny, but it's a bit of an end of an era for Lainey and her horse, Anthony Patch. Lainey announced yesterday that Anthony Patch is retiring, and he's a favorite because he's an off the track thoroughbred. Kind of thought it was fitting with today. She tweeted that he gave me my first top 10 placing in a national 4-star. He gave me my first Burley completion. He gave me my first Rolex press conference. He gave me a national advanced championship, 2 reserve national championships over the course, and 2 reserve national championships over the course of 3 years. Through the 14 years I've owned him, he has never given me any broken bones or a broken heart. And what's more, he gave you and I the belief that thoroughbreds have what it takes to compete at the top level of our beloved sport. I love you, and I love you, Al. Thank you for giving me literally everything that I have ever asked and dreamed of. Have a happy retirement, my most cherished best friend.
I know. Did you please?
Oh, God. Ooh, he's 18 this year. Wow. He has 5 4-stars in his pocket, including, I think the highest one was 14th at Rolex. Wow. The first time he ever did it. So, oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. Okay, my turn. There we go. My Winnie goes out to the gang at the Road to the Horse 2017 edition. Tara Carter, who co-hosted with Glenn and put up with him for 3 days. Thank you, Tara. That's not easy. Tammy Sarantz, who is always there to get everything done in behind the scenes. Linda Gettig, our volunteer HRN listener and guest wrangler at Road to the Horse every year, it seems. And all of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Horse Radio Network fans and auditors who helped support us and posted on Facebook and waved at us from the stands. It was awesome. Maybe next year I'll go instead of Glenn.
I think there's you're
an
due.
Idea.
You're due.
I can get sick instead. So thanks, guys. It was a great adventure, despite the fact that Glenn brought a cold home. While he was there, he had a blast.
Good. Good. Well, that's the important part. Yeah. You get to pick up the pieces when he comes home. Hey, you put this news story in, and I'm so excited. I'm as equally unexcited. And I'll tell you why. On social media, Alisa Wallace has been trying to fundraise for her trip to badminton. She and Johnny are going to badminton. And she's been fundraising. And I'm like, I'm not helping you go. I don't want you to go. I want you to go to Rolex. So I've been like super bummed that Alisa Wallace is not going to be in Rolex this year. And then you posted this. Zara Tyndall and High Kingdom are entered for Rolex. Yay! Oh, they came in like 2015, but her horse was hurt right before his dressage test. I believe he like got loose when they were lunging him or something.
Oh, that's right. It was some crazy loose horse thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's High Kingdom was being tacked up an hour before his test, and he kicked out in his stable and split the skin in his off hind just outside of his pasture. And it turns out he had penetrated the joint capsule.
That could have been career ending, if not life threatening. Yeah.
Exactly. Thank God they're in Kentucky where there's like a billion amazing veterinarians. So.
Now, remind everybody who Zara is.
Baby Zara's namesake. Hello. Zara Tyndall is also Zara Phillips. And Zara Phillips is Captain Mark Phillips' daughter, which is also Princess Anne's daughter. So the royal connection will be there. Do you think she has to go with like royal security all the time, too? I don't know.
I'm betting yes.
I think she'd just be like, leave me alone. She's amazing. Okay. So this chick is royal family is a hardcore eventer and married a professional hockey player. So like the most rough and tumble, toothless guy that she could find. Just awesome. Just super cool. Which is why when Monty Roberts named my little filly Zara, I couldn't have been happier. I couldn't have been happier.
What is it about horse girls and hockey players? Didn't Kaylee Cuoco marry a hockey player too? But that one didn't stick. Or was he a tennis player?
I don't know. I dated a hockey player too.
That one didn't stick either, obviously.
No. So the league went on strike. He moved back to Canada.
There you go. So I noticed that you posted on Facebook a picture of Zeus's official adoption papers. He's legal.
Yay!
He got his green card.
He's mine. I got my green card with him. So yeah. So when you adopt a Mustang, you don't get the title. Like when you adopt them, the BLM still owns them. It's super frustrating because you think he's mine, but he's not. And so what that means is they can come and check on him. They can look at him. They can, if you're not taking care of him for that first year, they can take him back. And nobody ever came to visit me in the 2 years of Zeus and Thor. But again, it's probably because I adopted from Nevada. And I'm in Arizona because I have heard of people getting visits. Now, they can come and they can check the fences. Now, you also don't get the title because, you know, if you're adopting just a regular untouched Mustang, they're $125 like we learned on Monday. And, oh, wow, $125. I'll take 20. And then you sell them to slaughter and you make a quick buck.
Which happens.
So you can't do that either.
Yeah, that happens.
Because you don't.
You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, and
it's illegal. You can get arrested.
It's illegal.
Yeah.
You can go to jail. Yeah. So anyway, I'm not going to jail because I did not do that. And I adopted my dear sweet baby Zeus and I got my title in the mail yesterday. So basically it's a certificate and it says official wild free roaming horse or burro certificate of title and has my name and address. Is hereby granted title to the animal below in accordance with the Act of 1971, public law, and amended by da 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 da. And then they have a description of him, his freeze mark number, and where he came from, and all that. So, very, very cool. I'm so excited. I got the envelope from, it says it's from the BLM, and I'm like, this is good news or bad news?
Yeah. We want him back.
Have to fight me to find me first. So yeah, I cried a little bit because I opened it up and then he's like officially yours because I never got the one for Zeus, for Thor.
Huh. Isn't that weird?
So what happens is they send you this piece of paper. Hey, you're about to get the title for your horse. However, you need to have a veterinarian or a BLM employee or one other person, I think, sign that the horse, they've seen the horse and he's okay. So I have to have the vet out. She just pops by and doesn't charge me, but she pops by and looks at and goes, oh yeah, here he is. Okay. And she signs a form and then you have to sign it and mail it back. So with Thor, I know you guys are going to be shocked that there's a glitch in the system at the BLM.
No.
Okay. Sit down.
Say it ain't so.
Sit down, people. So I get that piece of paper. My veterinarian signs it and I send it back. I did not sign in one particular place. So I get this angry letter. Like, I don't know. It seemed like angry. You didn't sign here. Sign this and return it. I mean, right then I'm like, I'm so sorry. And I sign it and I stick it back in the mail. And I've never heard anything back. And that was over a year ago. And I've called several times. So maybe
we need
to have
the BLM lady back on. Go to the top. That's what we'll do.
Yeah,
we'll sick Denise on that one. We're going to have her on the air. We're going to have a confrontation. No, I
mean, this is somebody that's in the Arizona division. So that's who I'm having to deal with. So I'm trying to call them and I've called and I swear to God, they forward me to somebody else and somebody else forwards me to somebody else. And then they go back to the person that they forwarded me to first time. And then of course that person's on vacation. So you can't actually talk to that person. And then they, It's government. It's like calling the driver's license place.
Yeah. Hey, don't ever call a vehicle department.
Okay. Here, hit 27 buttons. Yeah, so we're getting it. But yeah, he's officially mine. Yay!
Yeah, that's so exciting. Yeah.
Oh, very
You're
cool.
Permanent, Zeus. It's so nice. Well, it looks to me, when I look at my computer here, that we've got our first guest here, who is...
Oh, good.
Yes. Louise Smith from the Equestrian Aid Foundation is here. Welcome to the show, Louise.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, talk to me about what is the Equestrian... I've never heard of it. What is the Equestrian Aid Foundation?
Well, the Equestrian Aid Foundation is a nonprofit organization, and our mission is to assist people from all corners of the horse world who are coping with some kind of a catastrophic injury or illness. So, for example, it could be a horse-related, a broken bone, a traumatic brain injury. It could be a serious illness such as cancer. And so many times when people in the horse world, which would include trainers, breeders, riders, farriers, the whole gamut. So many times when they get hurt, bills pile up and they're not able to, they need a little helping hand. They're not able to cover their bills. And so that's where we step in. We provide assistance with basic living expenses and with rehabilitation expenses that are not covered by insurance. So we've been in a nonprofit and based in Florida for a little bit of we just had our 20th anniversary, actually. So it's a little over 20 years. And we've helped horse people in 30 states across the nation. So that's who we are and what we do.
That's fantastic. So you guys are a charity. I mean, I guess people can donate to you guys and make that a part of their yearly giving.
Yeah, very much so. We're definitely a nonprofit charity organization, and we do a fundraising and raise money to support fellow equestrians who are facing these crises.
Awesome. So how did this get started?
Well, it actually got started by a group of individuals including Robert Dover, who's now the chef d'équipe for the U.S. dressage team and some others. And it got started to help people with AIDS. So our original name was the Equestrian AIDS Foundation, and that was our mission. Since then, in maybe 10 years ago, we broadened our mission to help equestrians really from all walks of life, and all kinds of major life-changing or life-threatening health problems. So we don't really restrict our support at this point to any specific medical conditions or situations or circumstances. But basically, the Equestrian Aid Foundation started as a group of extremely compassionate people who wanted to help friends and colleagues who were in need. And that's really the essence of what we do today as well.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, first of all, it's amazing that you had to start an organization to assist people with AIDS, but that the need for that shrunk so much because of awareness and medical intervention and things like that. I mean, that just is a testament to how awesome things have changed here in the United States, where you can take a foundation that was built on a disease and have to open it up because there's not that many more people to help.
Well, that's a fortunate circumstance, but there are plenty of equestrians and equine professionals, unfortunately, that do get seriously hurt or ill. And when that happens, you know, everyone that's in the horse world can probably relate to the Equestrian Aid Foundation's mission, because we all learning to ride, we all come off horses, you know, handling large animals, you know, if things happen, even with the best of programs. So when people get seriously hurt or ill, you know, many of them risk losing their home, their dignity, their independence, quality of life, and even ability to stay involved with horses that they love. So a helping hand when it's really needed for a period of time, can make such a huge difference in a life. It's really rewarding and exciting to be part of that activity.
It's got to be rewarding. I mean, my gosh, you're changing people's lives, and you're intervening at times when they're the lowest and they need the most help. What I was trying to say is trying to celebrate the fact that how awesome it is that we don't need all this just for the AIDS epidemic. We can open it up to other people who need help too, because the AIDS epidemic has slowed down so considerably. Anyway, so you guys are
fantastic.
Yeah. Just trying to give a bright spot. How are you guys funded?
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. We're completely funded through sponsorships and donations. So we do several fundraisers a year, a lot of them at major horse parks. We have some equestrian programs at horse shows, like an armband benefit program or a sponsored class program. And we've got retailers both in the horse business and people in horse areas that have equestrian and other clients who do promotions for us, where, you know, they'll do some kind of a program or promotion, and we're the beneficiary of that. But we are 100% based on donations and funding from sponsorships.
This is amazing. I mean, I'm fortunate that I've never had to learn about you guys, and I've been lucky. So who are some of the people that can thank you and you guys have helped?
Well, we've helped many, many people over the years, but
of course.
I'll give you an example. We have a lovely young eventer, a young woman who unfortunately went over the jump by herself and suffered a severe injury and is a quadriplegic. And so one of the things that the Equestrian Aid Foundation does for her and her family is help with aqua therapy, which is not covered by her insurance. So that's, you know, sometimes we help with basic living expenses where people, you know, could be anybody really, could be you or me or a friend or a colleague. You know, they get hurt all of a sudden, you know, they need help with paying the rent or keeping the utilities on or continuing to carry medical insurance. So, you know, we'll help people like that too. And in our, you know, our current grant recipients include dressage riders, eventers, people that do dressage and racing, driving, barrel racing and rodeo. So it's a very broad spectrum of people across the horse world, and the situations that they find themselves in is also a very broad spectrum, from, you know, spinal to cancer and debilitating things in between. But the great part of what we do is that for the majority of our recipients, you know, we help them for a period of time when they need assistance and rebuild their lives. And then they go on to do whatever they're going to do after they recover, be it in the horse world or in another career or something like that. So it's fantastic to help people when they really need a helping hand, and see them recover and move on.
Just sharing the love, you know, you're just sharing the love and doing good. That's amazing. Well, where can people go to find out more, be it if somebody needs help or if somebody wants to donate? Because I find that this is an amazing place to donate. Help your people.
Well, thank you for that. Yes. Yeah, so we have a website. It's equestrianaidfoundation.org. And we're on Facebook. And Instagram. So you can find out a lot more about us and also about some of our recipients and some of our programs on the web or in our social media.
Okay, great. Well, Louisa, you have been just an absolutely fantastic advocate for your Equestrian Aid Foundation. Thank you for coming on and talking about it so passionately and coming on and telling us about it. You've did a great job.
Well, thanks so much. I mean, I'm a dressage rider myself, so I completely get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a privilege for me to be able to help other people.
who, you know, just who need a helping hand. I've had friends that were in that situation, and you know, it's just been a real, it's very inspiring to work with a really dedicated group of people on our board and our volunteers and people across the country who have the compassion to reach out and help another horse person when that's needed. It's been a real pleasure. So thanks for the opportunity to tell everyone about the Equestrian Aid Foundation.
Well, thank you for telling everybody about it. Is it equestrianaidfoundation.org? Check them out also on Facebook.
And
thank you very much, Louisa Smith, the executive director of the foundation. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
That was fascinating. I didn't know anything about that.
I didn't either. And we're lucky that we didn't. That means use them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't know a thing like that existed. How awesome to help your fellow horse people.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like I said, that the AIDS epidemic has slowed down so much that they got to open and broaden their
yes.
horizons.
So obviously the efforts they made to help people afflicted, but also by helping in that mission to spread the word about what it is, how to treat it, how to prevent it, obviously was effective.
I love it.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Now we're going to go from that wonderfully heartwarming topic to something completely frivolous and fun that all horse people like to do, and that's shop.
Oh boy. What am I going to buy today?
Well, you know, our show today is brought to us by horselovers.com. Our most recent and favorite way to waste time on our computer by shopping at horselovers.com. And let me see what the deal of the day is. What's our flash sale? Let's see here. Today's flash sale. Oh, we've got some really cool ladies tops for sale.
And free shipping today.
Free shipping. Oh, my gosh. I needed to get. I can get free shipping on Nigel's new shipping boots. I like it.
Deal of the day. They've got. Oh, free Back on Track saddle pad if you buy the mesh sheet, which, by the way, I have both. They're awesome.
And newsflash, I just got, because, you know, shopping at Horse Lovers is something I do on a pretty regular basis. I just got my Dublin boots in, my tall boots. And they're really awesome and beautiful, and I can't wait to wear them this weekend.
Love them. That's cool. Yeah, I just got Lukey's half chaps in the mail, but they don't fit. So we'll have to. I'll give you a review of the return policy of Horse Lovers.
There we go. Well, you know, that's important because as horse people, sometimes we need to exchange stuff. It's too big. It's too small. We didn't like the color. We broke up with the boyfriend, so we're taking all the blue tack that we bought for him and we're sending it back.
Holy smokes. If you go to the deal of the day, sorry, Jennifer, you're absolutely right. You go to the open box deal of the day.
Oh, there's an open
box. Ovation. It's like open box discounts, it says. Holy cow. You can buy the Ovation Country Boots, the Addies, for $43.
What?
The Secretariat Briar's $23. Oh, my God. I have to have it.
Look at that. Look at that. Dang. I love those.
I need the Addies. I don't have those.
No. Oh, the open box section is really.
Oh my God, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
Why would anybody go to any other website? I am such an addict. And I didn't really know about Horse Lovers until this show, until they became sponsors. And now it's become a problem. They're making their money back. I promise.
Well, that's a good thing.
Oh my gosh.
Well, there we go. And why don't we do this? We will, we're going to hear from our ND Flax horse health report coming up next. It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass produce Kevlar coated bubble wrap lined equine products. And back with us again, Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition, the gal that I call on a regular basis here at the Horse Tip Daily Show to clear up any question I've got about horse nutrition, because it's doggone a confusing topic. Welcome back, Dr. Tanya Cupid.
Thank you, Jennifer. Always good to be back. Yes, can be confusing, but hopefully I can unconfuse it a little bit.
You can unconfuse it a little bit. And then every time I chat with you, I get unconfused about another part. And then I learn some more stuff. And then I have questions about that. It's a never-ending circle.
It is. It is. It will go on forever.
That's job security, so it's a good thing.
Yes.
There we go. Well, this is the second in our five-part series of horse nutrition glossary terms. Last time we did energy and calorie. You can go and find that on horsetipdaily.com. This time, the words of the day, once again, the Sesame Street method, is brought. This show is brought to you by the letter F for forage and fiber, because they both, to me, sound like they ought to be the same thing, but perhaps not. So enlighten me.
Well, yes, again, people sometimes use these terms interchangeably. I'm feeding my horse some fiber, or I'm feeding him some forage. They can be used interchangeably, but I prefer to separate them. Forage, if we look up the Wikipedia definition for forage, is a plant material, mainly leaves and stems, eaten by grazing livestock. When I talk about forage, I talk about pasture, hay pellets, any kind of processed forage product, beet pulp. That's what I consider forage. Fiber, on the other hand, fiber is an ingredient, is part of anything that's plant-based. So oats, for example, have a very fibrous seed coat, so they contain fiber, but I don't consider them a forage.
Uh-huh. So all forages are fibers, but not all fibers are forages?
Correct. Woo-hoo! Yes. And then when we look at fiber, if we get a hay report back, or if we've tested an ingredient, a feed ingredient, then we can break it down even further into, in horses, we'll look at acid detergent fiber, neutral detergent fiber. Now, these are analytical terms, and really they equate to the amount of digestibility. So acid detergent fiber, the easiest way I explain that to people is that's the digestibility of the fiber. Neutral detergent fiber is the palatability, how readily the animal wants to consume it. These terms come into play when people talk about first cut versus second cut hay. Well, my horse doesn't like to eat first cut hay. I guarantee if we look at the hay report, if we've had it tested, the ADF and the NDF values will be quite high. It's not very digestible and it doesn't taste very good. Fibers can also have the non-digestible fibers, like hemicellulose, lignin, for example. That's getting a little bit more complicated. But really, forages, hay, pasture, beet pulp, fibers are in any plant. Anything that comes from a plant has a fiber in it.
So our horses need forage to keep their digestive system happy and content.
Yes.
Do our horses, there's digestible fiber and non-digestible fiber. Do our horses need both kinds of fiber?
Yes. One way to kind of explain that to people is a lot of times when we get to the end of winter time, especially in areas where there's a lot of snow or we have quite a strong winter where the grass is really non-productive, so the horses aren't getting much from it, people will say, well, why is my horse starting to chew the fences all of a sudden? You know, we're getting into the end of winter, into the end of February, maybe beginning of March. He's all of a sudden started to chew the fences or chew the trees. Why? And I say, well, what kind of hay are you feeding? Or what fiber source are you feeding to your horse? Well, I know that I want to make sure they're getting the best nutrition, so I saved the really leafy, highly digestible second cut hay for the wintertime. And really what those horses are doing is craving some non-digestible fibers. So it's the bacteria in the gut are really craving some of those non-digestible fibers.
I never knew that.
Yes, they do need both types.
So a horse whose diet overall, regardless of what time of year, is lacking in non-digestible fibers may be the one who's craving to munch on and consume woody stuff that he's able to get
exactly.
a hold of because he's wanting that. How fascinating. Yes. Wow, that's a light bulb spot right there for me.
Huh. Simple fix, throw in some first cut hay. That's just going to, yes, you're probably going to get more nutrition out of your second cut hay if it's very low in the ADF and NDF values, i.e. it's high in digestibility, so those all the nutrients are unlocked easier and the horse can digest it easier. But if they start to chew on things, throw in a flake or two of the more non-digestible, the more stemmy hay.
That is
so. You have to be careful to go the flip side.
Well, sure.
For example,
because
down in Florida where you are, you don't want to feed a really, really stemmy hay as the only thing you feed, because then you can run into the problem of impaction colic. It can get stuck in the digestive system if it really isn't able to be broken down. If it's too high in those non-digestible fibers, then we can have an issue.
So it's a balancing act, just like everything else with nutrition.
Yes,
it is. Well, that was so fascinating. I never knew any of those little bits and pieces about digestible versus non-digestible fibers. So for listeners out there in the equinosphere who have many more question marks floating around above their heads, where can they find Dr. Tanya Cubitt?
Excellent. They can find me at performancehorsenutrition.com. And we also now have a YouTube channel. We've been doing some little videos, so check us out there too.
Cool. Thanks a bunch. We'll see you again soon. Today's Horse Health Report is brought to you by ND Flax Milling. Find them online at ndflaxmill.com. ND Flax Milling is a family-owned business, producing quality products for their customers for generations. ND Flax Milling has an FDA-inspected mill, certified organic, non-GMO, whole flax seed that is milled at room temperature and then packaged and stored at room temperature away from any heat or light sources. This proprietary milling process keeps all of the omega-3s intact, so your horse can benefit from all of flax's natural nutrients, yet it's convenient for busy horse owners with a shelf life of up to 2 years. No more daily battles with the coffee grinder. Visit ND Flax online at ndflaxmill.com to purchase or to learn more.
Myself in a real bad situation. I'm so far in, I can't find my way out. Seems I've gone from bad to worse to desperation. And I prayed as hard as I can pray. I know help is on the way, but I'm in a dive and falling fast. Is it too much to ask? Please be something with me. Faced with some messy consequences from all the bad decisions that I've made. Some folks say there ain't no second chances. I've never lost my faith in your mysterious ways. I know you'll help me out, but it sure is a long way down. Please be something with a way.
Yeah.
what's in your hands. I know you've got a plan. You know what's best for me. You'll send me what I need. Please, please, please be something with wings. Guardian angel, come and rescue me. Love enough to lift me up. Send me safely back down.
That is Templeton Thompson. I'm assuming the song, Jennifer, is called Something with Wings.
Ding, 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 ding.
Great song. TempletonThompson.com to check out all of her music. Now, it's funny because when Glenn picks the songs, a lot of times he'll ask me who I want. And now you're picking the songs and I'm noticing a trend. They're all Tempe.
Yeah, I'm kind of
partial. Am I on to something?
I'm kind of partial.
I keep hearing Templeton Thompson come back around like,
Yeah, but the good part is she has lots of them, so I don't have to repeat any.
Oh, I know. And they're all fantastic. So she's amazing. Now, do you want to do a news story or do you want to do a list or do you want to do just go to the guest? What would you like to do right now, Jennifer?
I think we need to talk to Ashley Godwin. That's what I think.
Okay. If she's on, why don't you introduce her and go for it?
Go for it. Well, regular listeners might recognize this name, Ashley Godwin, because she was on the show last year, and she stopped by to chat a little bit about her company called Glamourals, and she makes...
Which, by the way, we have many listeners that have bought them.
I know. Carry I on. Saw them posted over the winter. They were going, oh, my Glamourals came, and it was a winner to have them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Explain what that Glamourall is real quick.
Glamourals are coveralls for working in the barn and out of doors, made specifically for ladies so that you don't have to buy the obnoxious, ill-fitting ones from the outdoor store that you hate.
And they're cute.
And they're
adorable. They're like colorful.
And come in fun colors. Yeah. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Ashley.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me. And thank you for all your nice words about Glamourals.
Well, you're welcome. Everybody's been loving them. They've been posting like crazy. And what happens then is everybody else who's looking at the Facebook page gets a little bit jealous, and then they put them on their Christmas list. And there we go. That's how success is.
Most of the orders are men buying Christmas presents.
That's the way it should be.
It's a hot Christmas item.
There we go. Right. That's the way it should be. So last time you were on, we chatted about Glamourals, and we chatted about the fact that you are closely related to California Chrome and his connections, and how cool is that? But this time, you're going to stop by and talk about a different aspect about your love for the thoroughbred. Tell us all about what you did this past weekend with your off-the-track thoroughbred.
Well, it's actually my biggest love of the thoroughbreds. And if people out there are even considering an off-the-track thoroughbred, it'll be the best decision they ever made because I absolutely love mine. I have a little mare that she's about 15.3 that I got off the track out of the fairgrounds in New Orleans in November of 2015. Got her going. We did the thoroughbred makeover in Kentucky in October, and she was eighth in the show hunters out of 69 horses. In the show jumpers, we were 18th out of 79 horses. My little 15-something hand mare. So then we came down to Ocala this weekend, took her to the inaugural Thoroughbred Transformation Expo, which is very similar to the thoroughbred makeover, and my cute little mare we were champion show jumpers this time. So she brought home all the blue, and we've got a really cool sheet with it's embroidered, and we had a blast. We were fourth overall in the show hunters.
Living the dream.
It's so much fun. And, you know, I just want to let people know one thing I've seen with this off the track thoroughbred hunt. When people go shopping, they want the 17 hand monster big, you know, they think bigger is always better.
Yeah.
Bigger is always better. This little mare is not only a little shorter, she's not real broad or anything, but she has the biggest heart. And she proved that little can win. You know what I mean? She went out there. The horse that she beat was a giant. And I'm watching him go. He was a great rider. And I thought, okay, my little mare is going to make some really awesome turns because she's a little compact thing, you know. So anyway, so that's what we did. It was a great time. I just encourage anybody and everybody that loves a horse to consider an off-the-track thoroughbred. They have disciplines for everyone. They have barrel racing, dressage, eventing, show jumping, hunters, polo, you name it.
Yeah.
You know, there's something for
and,
you.
And some of the thoroughbred shows, I'm going to call them shows generically because they use a lot of different terms for these thoroughbred only competitions. Some of them even have assorted Western disciplines. Like if I remember right, they even had shooting at this one, mounted shooting.
Yeah, they did. I heard the guns because I thought, what are they doing? And we walked up and they're shooting the balloons. I don't know what that's called because I don't know anything about it. But the horse, he just totally tuned it out and did his job. It's amazing. Yeah.
Now, tell me.
And, you know, these guys were racing not too long ago.
Yeah. Now, your little mare's name is Higher Calling, right?
Well, my off-the-track thoroughbred program, I call Higher Calling.
Oh, okay. I got it
my
wrong.
My mare's name is. Yeah. No, that's okay. My mare's name is Lily's for Claire.
Lily's for Claire. And how old is Lily?
She is 6 this year.
She is 6 years old. Now, what about Lily made you say, I need to take that mare home when you first met her?
Well, it's funny. You know, I've always said you never find the great horses. They find you. Because the trainer I got her from, I had gotten another off-the-track thoroughbred from that I still have. Her name's Horns or Halos. I do jumpers with her. Well, Wendy Milligan and Jack Frost, they were the owners and trainers with Flying F Racing Stable that I got the mare from. Wendy emails me and she says, I have a special one that I want you to have. We're about to retire. She's never been injured. We just want her to have a great home. And I just thought, oh, okay, sure. So I saw a picture of her and I just thought, okay, she's cute. And I drove down to New Orleans to pick her up. So it wasn't like I went out shopping looking for her. She just kind of found me. And the first time I saw her, I thought, well, that's a cute little mare. She's kind of small, but okay. But then once we got her home, I gave her a month or two off just to stand in the pasture and chill out. And then when I started working her, I was blown away because, you know, when you start teaching them to jump, you know, you never know what you're going to get. And this little rascal would hop over a fence and just kind of do this perfect little lope down to the next fence and jump. And I thought, oh boy, you know, this is going to be a good one. And she's just been a dream to work with.
So how many off-the-track horses have you restarted now?
Oh gosh, you know, through the years, I don't know. Just recently, because I've shown a little bit of everything through the years. I showed Arabs for several years. Recently, though, you know, I've had these two. I've got another thoroughbred mare that I didn't get off the track. But gosh, I don't even know. It's not a huge number, but maybe in my career of horses, maybe 10 of them, you know, through I've been into horses since 1985. So but I want to broaden my program with it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I love doing it.
So you find your horses directly through your connections in the racing industry, obviously, because you also own at least one horse who's racing. And speaking of which, tell everybody what your racehorse's name is.
Oh, okay. Her name is Our Sunday Surprise.
And is she still running right now, or is she taking a break? What's she doing?
Well, she took the winter off because she was a 2-year-old last year. She raced some. We stuck her out in a pasture to live the good life for the winter. She's just gone back into training. She's in California. You know, we own a percentage of her with Steve and Carolyn Coburn and Silver State Racing. The plan is she's going back into training, and I believe they're talking about putting her with Kristen Mulhall at Santa Anita. and then give it a whirl again this year as a three-year-old and see how she does on the track. But she is a full sister to the Great California Chrome.
She's a full sister to the Great California Chrome. So obviously, when her racing career winds up, she's going to be hanging around being a mommy. Duh, with bloodlines like that.
Yeah, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
She should be a great mom.
You're a great mom.
It's exciting.
Are you excited to, or have you yet gotten any California Chrome relatives into your program to retrain yet?
Not yet. You know, they just started breeding them this year, so I hope all of his babies are megastars on the track.
No cousins or anything, you know, though?
Not yet. But I have to say, the farm we bought in Ocala, my next door neighbor has an unbridled song mare that they are sending to Kentucky to breed to Chrome. So last night I asked him, I said, is the Chrome baby going to live at your farm down here? And so we will have a California Chrome baby living next door. So that's going to be exciting. Nice.
Oh, that's so cool.
Awesome. See, now, is your mare, sorry, Jennifer, let me jump in. Is your mare just like Chrome? I mean, is she blinged out like with all the Chrome on her?
Well, she looks a lot like him. She doesn't have the four white stockings. I'm trying to remember how many white feet she does have. She does resemble him quite a bit, though. I mean, you can tell they're definitely in the same family tree. And she's very sweet. She's a feisty little thing. I really believe in letting a horse be a horse. So I think the break was probably really good for her. I have not seen her in person since she's been on break. But right. And talked to Steve Coburn recently. He said that she just looked fantastic. He said she's grown. She's bulked out. He said she just looked wonderful, seemed very happy. They took her out on the track for a couple little workouts. They said she seemed happy to be back. So all that looks good. So we're going to see what she does.
Cool. That's awesome. I'm glad that she's back at it, because, you know, anytime you can have a chromey out there, we want to know about it. So definitely keep us posted.
Right.
On when she's going. Maybe I need to put her in my virtual stable. What's her name again? I'm gonna write this down.
Yeah. It's R, like letter R, Sunday Surprise.
Oh, she has her own Facebook page.
She does. Okay.
I like that in a racehorse.
And you can, right. Yeah. And you can look up Silver State Racing. That's kind of the official page for her, because I don't think the Coburns did an official page for her. I think there's some fan pages, but Silver State Racing is the Facebook page you can look up to kind of keep up with the updates on her. And, you know, I just want to really stress, I love horse racing, but I think the most important thing with horse racing is you got to have a plan for them after their career is over. You know, they're great animals. They finish their career young, and, you know, just, please everyone consider, adopting, purchasing, whatever, an off-the-track thoroughbred. You know, just make sure you get your pre-purchase exam. It helps, I think, if you know the trainer that they're coming from, so you know how they were handled, you know their background. You know, they're just wonderful horses. And, you know, once you give one a try, you won't be able to imagine your life without one.
So with your higher calling program, is your long-term goal to specifically bring in and retrain and rehome horses yourself, or are you also going to do some networking for other folks, in that you can say, I know person A and I know their experience, I'm going to point them in the direction of that horse? What are your long-term goals for the program?
Well, what I would like, since it's just me doing everything, I would like to take on a couple at a time to retrain, get them going, help find them new homes. And then anything I can do to help, you know, if I can put people in touch with trainers that I know that are looking to rehome a horse, just whatever I can do to help, you know, is my plan. We've just bought a farm in Ocala. We're still trying to sell my farm in North Georgia, which is Rivermont Farm. And once that's sold, I'll be in Ocala full time. I feel like once I'm down here all the time, I can do more. You know, you have more contacts. I'm told by many that I'll have no trouble finding horses off the track that need good homes.
Absolutely.
None of us do.
right. So I know that's kind of a wishy-washy answer, but my plan is just to help as many horses as I can, and I'll figure out as many ways as I can to do it, if that makes sense.
Now, I do want to mention, I want to discuss with you this whole buying a farm in Ocala. We've noticed something here in Ocala that everybody's buying a farm in Ocala. Lucky.
It's because it's a great place. Oh my gosh, the weather has been heavenly since I've been down here. I've been here for about 10 days and I've got to head back to Georgia in a few days. But and I love my farm in Georgia. Don't get me wrong, but boy, you've got some good weather for March down here.
Yeah, it is kind of special that way. So was it the thoroughbreds, the weather? What was it that, I'm just curious because I live in Ocala. What drew you specifically to Ocala?
I think, my dad and I had our farm in Georgia. Our plan was to come down here together, mainly because you're in the center of horsey everything. You have great vets, farriers, there's horse shows all around you, feed stores. You know, if you're a horse lover, it's the place to be. And unfortunately, my dad passed away in 2013, so he didn't get to make the journey with me. But shortly after, I met my fiance, Vince, and he has just fallen in love with the horses as much as, you know, I do. And so he has purchased this farm down here. So it looks like we're still going to head this way. But that was kind of the original plan. My dad wanted so bad to come down here. He loved the weather and we just loved just the horsey atmosphere. It's mm-hmm. everywhere.
It's true. It is. You go to the grocery store and 1/3 of the people in there have either riding breeches or cowboy hats on.
Exactly. And you can't pull that off just anywhere. No. You know what I mean?
You can't.
You Ocala girl.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the only city I've ever been into that I walk into Publix and they sell the bag of carrots by like 20-pound bags or whatever they are.
Yeah, you
I'm
buy
like,
the
wow,
yeah.
It's right in the door when you walk in.
First thing in the door.
So that's when I knew it was home. You're right. So it's a great place. I've wanted to come down here for quite a while and I'm excited to be down here full time soon, I hope.
Well, congratulations on your big win at the inaugural Thoroughbred Transformation here in Ocala, Florida. And thanks for stopping by with a visit on what's going on.
Well, thank you for having me. And I hope that we'll see more Thoroughbred horse shows popping up around Ocala. I think it's, you know, the Thoroughbred Makeover in Kentucky is a gigantic event. And I think this year it's going to be bigger than ever. So I hope the people of Ocala will tap into that market and start doing more events for the thoroughbreds, because I think it's kind of the next big thing.
I agree. And they need to have a brand new class for chubby putt-putt thoroughbreds so I can enter. So there we go.
Well, you know, if my little one can do it, anybody can, you know, my little runt of a horse did a great job and I'm very proud of her. And I want to thank the Run for the Ribbons people that put on this Thoroughbred Expo. They did a great job. I believe they're a nonprofit to help thoroughbreds off the track. So I know it was a lot of work to put that event together. It was at the Florida Horse Park, and I think everybody had a great time. It was a great event.
There we go. Now, we got to wrap this up. So if someone is curious about Higher Collaring OTTB program or wants to speak with you about adopting or purchasing a thoroughbred of their very own and they're curious, is there a way that they can find you online?
Yes. Visit my website at www.rivermontfarm.com, and you'll find me.
There we go. Thanks a bunch, Ashley.
Okay, thank you for having
me. Oh, and now we are going to hear from the good folks at Fairfield.
Fairfield Inn and Suites North by Marriott Lexington is the ideal hotel for you, as they are the closest hotel to the Kentucky Horse Park. They have the most spacious guest rooms and suites in the area, and they're only 4 miles from downtown Lexington. Fairfield Inn and Suites North offers complimentary breakfast, free Wi-Fi throughout the hotel, free parking, a business center, an indoor swimming pool and jacuzzi, an outdoor patio with grill, laundry facilities, and much more. You get hungry, Cracker Barrel is located right next door, and there are 4 other dining options available within walking distance for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Of course, Lexington is known for the Kentucky Horse Park, University of Kentucky, Keeneland, and the historical Kentucky Bourbon Trail. Enjoy a terrific hotel experience while you're touring Lexington. There's no denying that the Lexington North Fairfield Inn & Suites is the best value in town and will meet all your hospitality needs. Just Google Fairfield Inn North Lexington and make your reservations today.
There we go. And that's where Glenn stayed, and as well as I'm sure many of other Horse Radio Network listeners while they were at Road to the Horse. And coming up now, we can't get enough of cool new products. And we chatted with some the founder of a company called EnduraHoof while we were at ADA this past January. But unfortunately, we had a computer glitch, so we didn't get to record an interview with them. So we caught back up with those folks, and we recorded a little chat about EnduraHoof. And if you have a horse that has hooves that like to crack, smushy hooves, hooves that the nails come loose, etc., etc.,
and who or hooves.
Or hooves.
One of those.
One of those.
Could be hooves.
It could be hooves, or hooves. That crack. Or hooves.
It's not her fault she says it wrong.
I say it the way it should be said, and everybody else has modernized. So there we go. So listen to this. It's a very interesting new product with kind of an interesting backstory. And I'm joined right now by Dr. Johnston, and we met Dr. Johnston at the most recent ADA conference in Philadelphia, where we go to look at all the cool new products coming out. And unfortunately, we had a technical glitch and couldn't record our little chit-chat there, so we caught up again. And Dr. Johnston and his partner in crime, Donna, have developed a product called EnduraHoof Pro Shield. And one of the things that got me started on it is it comes in all kinds of cool colors, but we'll come to that back to that later. Explain to us first, Dr. Johnston, what you are a doctor of, and then what ProShield is.
Certainly. I'm a doctor of organic chemistry, and I'll give you a little bit of my history. When I got my PhD, there was a significant amount of dismemberment going on in the chemistry industry, and the only people hiring for me at that time was the American Dental Association. They hired me at their research operation at what used to be known as the National Bureau of Standards, now known as the National Institute of Standards and Technology outside of Washington, D.C. I spent 10 years there developing adhesives to hold dental composites as reparative and restorative functions in your mouth. Then I took that knowledge and commercialized it in a company outside of Philadelphia. And now I'm in San Diego and mixing the dental adhesive technology that I did at the Bureau of Standards with ladies' nail gel cosmetic materials from the company in Philadelphia. You put both of those together, and you have looks like a gel that goes around a hoof. It cures by either the flashlight, UV light from a flashlight, or the sunlight. And now you have ProShield on the hoof. It bonds to the hoof. It lets the hoof breathe. And it acts as a reinforcing on the hoof to give it a little bit more strength to overcome the natural stresses and strains that occur when a horse walks on the hoof. The hoof is supposed to flex a little bit when you put that much weight on it. However, if it's got a flaw in it, that flexing can cause the hoof to either tear or crack. The ProShield acts as an ACE bandage, adhesively bonded to the hoof, that absorbs some of the energy of the flex and prevents the crack growth. So it allows the hoof to heal itself.
So
that's what ProShield does.
That's what ProShield is. So it's designed to go on the hoof wall of the hoof, not the sole.
Correct. Just on the outside between the bottom of the hoof and the coronet band.
So on the outside. Is it designed to be used on horses who are shod or barefoot?
Either
or.
Both hoofs flex in a slightly different fashion, but both hoofs flex. So it works on both types.
Both types. Okay. Now, when a horse owner applies ProShield, do they have to do any special preparation to the hoof first?
Well, just clean it up. The normal cleaning that a normal farrier visit would entail is what should be applied to the hoof. Scrub the dirt off.
You don't want to be putting it on top of hoof oil then?
That interferes with the adhesion.
So you wouldn't want to do that?
You wouldn't want to do that, no. Normally, what around here, what I tell the farriers is just scrape it off, maybe sand it a little bit, normal farrier cleanup, and brush off the what they've filed off, and so you can get to the bare hoof. The material bonds to that hoof. Anything that interferes with it is going to reduce the adhesion, and it could fail sooner.
So,
generally speaking, it should last 6 weeks between farrier visits.
Oh, that's what, that was my next question, is about how long it lasts. Now, your farrier comes out, your horse's hoof is prone to cracks, so he recommends that we use some ProShield, and he puts that on for us, or the horse owner can put it on for themselves. 6 weeks go by, and the farrier comes back. Does he need to remove the ProShield, or do you just allow it to grow out and come off by itself?
Generally speaking, I recommend you allow it to grow out, come off by itself. After 6 weeks, there will be intermittent failures here and there. So usually what, just like with ladies' fingernails, every 6 weeks you would do a fill line at the top between the coronet band and what grew out.
Gotcha.
And that would be enough. Now, management around here takes a dim view of this because the can, which I thought would last for 16 hooves, actually is more like 28 hooves. And then if you just do fill of the growth pattern, can will last 2 or 3 years.
Oh, my.
It doesn't give a lot of repeat sales.
Well, you know what you need to do there is you need to set the can down without its lid near a hoof more often, and then it gets spilt on the floor. So there you go.
Or they take it out and they let it expose it to the sunlight, and that'll kill it also.
That will kill it also. There we go. Now,
yeah, I mean, if you put this in the sun, it'll turn into a brick.
There you go. Now, you developed this. We chatted a little bit back at Ada, and you guys developed this with the assistance of some farriers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then after a little while, you came up with a product after their help and some trial and error. You came up with a formula that you were both very pleased with, and you thought, oh, all done. We've got our product, Endura Hoof Pro Shield. And then along comes teenage girls. What happened next?
They were very clear that I needed to have blue and pink glitter. Very clear. This was at the Western States Horse Exposition in Sacramento in June 2015. 20 minutes into the show, these two 13-year-old girls showed up and were very clear and to the point about needing to have blue and pink glitter. We were there in Sacramento to do beta testing on ProShield. That resulted in the launch in November 2015 at the Equine Affair in Massachusetts. But the colors have come along, and everybody has a more better color. We have blue glitterati. We have too hot to trot pink. We've got black, which I thought would be a standard color, and that doesn't seem to be as popular as the blue and pink, which the 13-year-old girls told me.
Yep.
We also have spirit red, white, and blue for patriotic colors.
Well, of course. Now, do you have one that's like clear or neutral for horses who have, quote, white hooves?
That would be just the ProShield.
Okay, so that's just, it doesn't have a color designation. That's just plain old ProShield.
ProShield. Now, the color shields, they're not designed really to last 6 weeks like ProShield. They are actually designed to be placed on the horse Wednesday night. The horse travels Thursday to the show. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they have the show. The horse comes back on Monday, and that's when you would want to be able to take the color shield off.
Now, how does one take it off?
It'll come off with a sandpaper or a rasp. You can just scrape it off. But it does it with all the pigment in it. It's not as well adhered to the hoof as the ProShield. And some people told me that they really don't need to have the color last more than 5 days. They just need it to last longer than 3 hours, like other products do.
Well, there you go. That is true.
So, that's what this is supposed to do. You're supposed to be able put it on Wednesday and take it off on Monday, and it'll stay throughout the whole show interval.
There we go. No more touch-ups. Well, it's a kind of a fascinating backstory where you took a whole bunch of experience in the chemistry world and applied it to horses' hooves, hopefully for the benefit. And you guys have sent out a couple of samples to us, so everybody keep watching this space for a review coming up soon. And if folks want to learn more about Endura Hoof or make a purchase, where can they find you guys online?
www.endurahoof.com. EnduraHoof.com.
There we go. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Johnson. There. Well, there we go. It was kind of an interesting backstory how he took organic chemistry, and then he went to ladies' fingernail polish, and then we went to hoof. Oh, that just can't do it. Hoof care.
And the fact that it lasts that long, too. But I did find it funny that you were like, something about a hoof. And he's like, yes, it's Endura Hoof. Pretty awesome.
I'm sorry, I can't do the hoof thing. It just sounds wrong. It's just wrong.
It's not wrong. It's right. You're not British. This, by the way, for new listeners, has been going on for how long have we been doing the show? 6 years?
6 years, yeah. Yes.
6 years of this fight, so yes. It's not going to end anytime soon.
Neither of us is backing down.
Hey, I have a question for you. Do you have any suggestions for as you guys know, Zeus ate Thor's tail.
Yeah.
So now it's like kind of looks like it was like a docked tail, but it's got bit of hair hanging past the tailbone. And I need to put like a tail bag on it. So
he can eat the tail bag?
No, just so he can swap flies. You know, like he gets
he needs an extension.
Well, yeah, but those are like hundreds of dollars, and I'm not going to let Zeus eat an extension. So what I'm saying, if I braid in a tail bag to as much hair as I can, then he'll have something to swap flies with. And I'll spray this thing in poison and Zeus repellent to keep him away from it. Do you have any suggestions? Like, I'm not a Western rider. I don't even know how to put in a tail bag or things like that.
Wrong person to ask. Don't know anything about tail bags.
Okay. Maybe we could ask on our horses in the morning page if you have ever used one, if you have a particular one. Because I'm seeing reading reviews of them, and like people are like, this one slipped out, this one ripped, and I don't want a super cheap one, but I also don't want to spend a ton of money on one, as you can imagine. So, and I have to get one for Pink too, because the owners of Pink asked me to please protect her tail so Zara doesn't eat it. And Zara hasn't shown the predisposition to eating tails, but apparently it's a common baby thing.
Yeah, the few babies, when I worked at the breeding farm, I worked at a standardbred breeding farm for a number of years. Wow. It was extremely rare for us to have a baby that would eat a tail.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess Pink's tail has been eaten by one of her other babies.
It's kind of, I wonder if there's any research into what predisposes one's tail to getting munched off, but I've heard stories that it's like they're one day and gone the next. Though it's not a case of, oh look, they nibbled a little bit, I should do something.
No, that's what happened with Thor. Like I walked outside, I'm like, oh my god, where's his tail? He was that dramatic.
Crazy. Unfortunately, I can't help you. I've put extensions in their tails before, and that I added more horsehair, but I've never done the tail bag thing.
Okay, well, you're no help. All right, so we'll ask, maybe the auditors will have a suggestion. Or if you have a suggestion, you can email me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. Send me a link. Tell me what to buy. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I don't come over and do it.
Yeah, somebody do it. You can have a hairdresser come and visit Thor.
Exactly.
There we go.
I'd have to be like a hair care for men type thing.
Yeah, sure. Hair care for men. HRS. Get the little hair plugs replacers. There. You go.
Yeah.
Well,
plugs.
If you don't know where to find the Horses in the Morning Facebook, it's kind of obvious. Go to Facebook and look for Horses in the Morning. You can find links to today's guests at horsesinthemorning.com. That would be the website. And if you're a person who likes to live your life 150 characters or less at a time, you can follow us on Twitter, and our handle is Horse Radio.
Awesome. Hey, by the way, just in case this happened to me yesterday, before we go, I got one of those surveys in my email. Mm-hmm. And it was a survey that came from the eventing, from the United States Eventing Association. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, they want to know about what type of horses and type of eventing. And I clicked on it, and it turns out it's basically an advertising thing. So they want to know how to advertise better. And it ended up, I think it was a study for Adequan. And I hope they don't listen to this, because they might be checking it out, because it's like, what magazines do you read? What do you subscribe to? Yeah. What do you read all the
demographic
time?
Demographic survey.
Yeah. Demographic, basically. And I put Horse Radio Network in every one of the answers.
Yay! It's
like every and so do that, you guys. Maybe somebody like Adequan will start giving us some money. My God, it'd be nice.
That They're would be nice.
Yeah, advertise they, like crazy.
They so probably have some spare money somewhere. Yeah,
they've got to. I mean, my gosh, I poor Chili, he gets an Adequan every 3 to 4 weeks. I'm donating to the cause. There you go. But anyway, yeah. So if you get one of those, do it and put in Horse Radio Network.
And every when it says other and you have to type Horse Radio Network.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's what I did. Like, what do you subscribe to? Horse Radio Network.
What do you listen to?
So if you all of a sudden start getting inquiries from Adequan, you'll know it was from me.
When they contact us, we'll say, oh, that's because of Jamie.
Say, well, we're going to put that show on Horses in the Morning and give Jamie a raise.
There we go.
All right, everybody. Have a great day. By the way, just a reminder, I will be coming at you live. And Jennifer, you probably forgot too, from Flag Is Up Farm on Monday.
Oh, that's right. I did forget about that.
I'm going to California for 3 weeks. Woo-hoo! 3 weeks. That's crazy. I'll be hopefully flying home on the weekends with my new flight benefits, but 3 weeks at Flag Is Up. So we'll talk to you again then, but I'll be on Friday. Hopefully Glenn will be feeling a little better. Go get the poor little baby.
Gosh, I hope so. This is exhausting.
Some broth or something. Go, little sniffles.
I'll go get him some bouillon. He'll love that.
Some bouillon. Yeah. There you go. Perfect. All right, everybody. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld. Horse lovers. Problem with horse lovers is I just buy other stuff too.